Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Music fans have been so preoccupied by the convenience of downloading music that sound quality hasn't been much of a priority, but that honeymoon could be ending. Better sound could be the next lure for persuading people to buy music legally. Joining us to explain how is Elliot Van Buskirk, a columnist and blogger for Wired magazine. Elliot, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
The major labels have been struggling for years with this issue. You know, how do you compete with free? How do you compete with file sharing networks and getting music via burning? You suggest a solution lies in better sound quality. Why?
I do. Well, you know, we hear all this belly aching from labels about how, you know, their product doesn't seem to make sense to people anymore. They can download this stuff for free. And so from the label's point of view, it's like, how do you sell something that people already have? And the thing that they have that nobody else has is the master recordings from all of their sessions. And now they can use those to go back and remaster them to better sounding formats like 24-bit and surround sound even, and sell those to us as downloads, and I think we'd be more willing to buy them.
Well, now, for the non-technically inclined among us, you know, we don't always know how our iPods or other MP3 players work, but basically what they do is they take a song that exists in a much more expansive form on a CD, and they compress it to a tiny, relatively tiny amount that lets you download a song in minutes rather than in hours, and it takes, obviously, less space on your computer hard drive. Do you think people would be willing to trade longer downloads and much bigger hard drives and iPods and stuff to get the better sound?
I absolutely do. I mean, you know, the cost of bandwidth has been dropping, and, you know, people who have an 80-gig iPod like me, I mean, what do you put on there? 80 gigs of music is a lot in the MP3 format. I guess you put videos on there is one thing you do. But I just think, you know, vinyl records still sound better than CDs. If you have a good record player, you get better sound than you do from a CD, because the CD takes a digital approximation of that song rather than the whole analog sound wave, which, not without complicating this, that's what's represented literally on a vinyl record. And so what I'm talking about is taking one step past the CD so that our digital files sound even closer to the original analog recordings. And it's completely possible. And the labels did something just like this when they switched to the CD in the 80s. You know, they remastered
going back to their older recordings, their older catalog. But this would also require someone else, presumably many someone else's, to create new players that have vastly expanded capabilities in terms of hard drive space.
It's true. You know, any computer would play these files right now, but it would, I guess, give Apple a chance to sell a new brand of MP3 player. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind. And people, I think, tend to upgrade their players, you know, every 2 to 4 years anyway, just because of batteries wear out. You know, the new device looks nicer than the one you have after a while. And, you know, so I think people upgrade these things, you know, as part of their natural listening habits anyway. And so it wouldn't be that big of a deal if they, you know, floated out some of these super high-fidelity players. I think people would gradually pick them up.
All right. Elliot, you're making a good case here, but if I can anticipate an objection from the industry, it's going to come back to that non-protected copyright format, that DRM thing again, that even if you sell the high-fidelity, you know, copies of the master tape online and people are paying for it, once you've got that, you can make your own CDs, your own, you know, MP3 files, and you're back to the whole file-sharing thing.
This is true. This is true. And so I think, you know, if I were them, I think you just have to keep building a better mousetrap. I mean, maybe the next thing is to, you know, add like, you know, little artist interviews onto the songs so you can have a little interview of how the album was made. Or, I mean, with digital files, there's just so much that you can pack on there as opposed to a CD or a record.
True enough.
I think they've got so much, they have so many possibilities, and I'd love to see them stop complaining and start building a better mousetrap that we will want.
Elliot Van Buskirk is a columnist and blogger for Wired. And Elliot, it's provocative stuff. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That'll do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, falsettos, countertenors, and other instances of musical androgyny. We'll talk to the pioneering American countertenor Russell Oberlin and to a cultural historian about the falsetto voice and how it challenges traditional gender roles. Also tomorrow, the band of Montreal. They're actually from Athens, Georgia, and they'll play live in the studio their mix of Kinks-inspired Brit rock and 80s synth pop. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Brian Wise, Alicia Abbott, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Michael McLaughlin. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow.